Pray with me. Gracious God, as we continue to pray this Lent, Thy will be done, and explore Your Word and Your will, teach us what You have for us today through Your Word and my words. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been exploring many facets of God's will and that simple prayer, Thy will be done. Today we're just going to look at one verse of the Scriptures, and it comes from 1 Timothy 4, where God says this: God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's it. God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, hey, that seems pretty straightforward, right? Pretty simple. Hey, that's God's heart. God wants all people to know Him. God wants. That's kind of, if it were shorter, it'd be kind of bumper sticker worthy, right? Speaking of bumper stickers, I took a picture of one that I just found on my phone the other day, which, by the way, it meant I was, behind somebody and I had to get my phone out to click it, but it was good enough that it was, worth risking my safety. It was, honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet Him. Don't want to digress too much, though. Back to the verse. It says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That seems so straightforward and simple, but when we kind of get into it, it gets a little more complicated. Rather, quite complicated. It's the stuff people have philosophized and argued about literally for centuries. They start to say things like, well, if it is God's will that all people are saved, how do some people reject God? Isn't God all-powerful, and so shouldn't God get what He wants? So how do we, and then you're into this weird clouds of, and this is kind of the stuff that, people with big beards and plaid jackets get together and smoke pipes and drink fancy things and talk forever. Can we reject God? Can we accept God? If God wants everyone to have saving faith, how come some don't? No. We're actually not going to do that today, so if that's what you're hoping for, sorry. I would call that kind of the 30,000-foot view. But we live our life on the ground, so we're going to talk about that more on the ground level, and that is, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us that God wants all people to be saved, particularly all people in our lives around us? What does it mean as God's people for us that God's heart is that big, that God wants all people to be saved? So the first thing we're going to talk about then to answer that question, what does it mean for us that God wants all people to be saved, is this. We have to have a good conversation with ourselves. That's the first thing. We have to have a good conversation with ourselves if we're going to live out and see what it means for us, 1 Timothy 4, that God wants all people to be saved. So what do I mean by that? You see, God's heart is that big that Jesus died for all, rose for all, and God wants everyone to know this. But when you try to live this simple truth out, it gets complicated. God's heart is so big that He wants everyone to come to know Him and be saved. But there's a problem when I deal with it is I'm not sure I actually want every person that I know to be in heaven with me, right? Let's be honest. Have you met somebody that you're like, I'm not sure I want to stand arm to arm with them before Jesus, right? I'll honestly own that. There are people in my life that I have prayed, Lord, I hope they're in heaven someday, and that's it. Period. Amen. I'll let somebody else pray for them. So my heart isn't as big as God's, right? There are plenty of people that I write off. What about the people that you see constantly attacking or making fun of things you believe to be God's truth? And would you rather in your heart, honestly, have judgment for them or a heart of love for them? Do you say in your heart, I really hope they come to know Jesus? Or deep down do you say, man, I really wish something would happen to them? About a year and a half ago, right before the last presidential election, I did my Sunday morning Bible study on a bunch of topics where the Bible and politics collide. And some of you were a part of that. And at one point in the fall before the election, I asked all of you to write something down on a piece of paper. And I said, here's the question, or fill in the blank, I could never, ever in a million years vote for fill in the blank. And then some of you all filled that in, and then I had a list of names, right, and kind of go through and read them off. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, I'd say close to half people there wrote one particular name down, and then pretty close to half wrote another particular name down. Now, do you hope that the person that you can't even bring yourself to consider voting for is saved by Jesus? Do you hope that the person who has irritated you at work for years, or the family member who has hurt you so deeply, do you actually want God to save them? Or the person who dedicates their life to attacking things you believe to be true? If we believe that God wants all people to be saved, the first thing is we have to look in the mirror and have a good conversation with me, with myself, with ourselves, and say, who have I written off? Who have I said they're a lost cause, they'll never trust in Jesus? Who have you given up on? Who have I given up on? You see, if we believe that God wants all people to be saved, the first thing it means for us is we have to have a good conversation with ourselves. But that'll lead us somewhere else. If we have a good conversation with ourselves based on God's word, it's going to lead us into good conversations with God. So that's the second thing. We need to have a good conversation with God. If I'm honest with myself, I will admit that deep, deep down I've written some people off or given up on some people that God would save them, then I need to have some conversation with God. That means we need to repent and say, God, forgive me. My heart is far smaller than yours, and therefore I do deserve your judgment, though I want your forgiveness. And God freely gives that forgiveness. And we ask God for a softer heart. And then God, we ask that God changes your heart towards those people that you've written off and those people that are constantly under your skin. And we ask God to forgive us and give us a soft heart where it was formerly hard. And then we get busy praying, right? God wants all people to be saved. God hasn't given up on them. Pray for that person. Pray for that person that you love, who seems completely uninterested in a conversation about God. Pray that God draws them near, shakes them up in a good way that allows them to consider the beauty of the gospel. You see, the person who actually wrote this Bible verse was that lost cause we're talking about. He was the one that people gave up on. It's Paul. It's 1 Timothy. He's writing a letter to his mentor or mentee, younger pastor Timothy, that he's mentoring. Paul was that lost cause. He was, as we read in Scripture last week, persecuting Christians, traveling around to terrorize and persecute and imprison and kill them. And then Jesus miraculously appears to him as he's riding towards Damascus to do more of this, and Jesus changes him in an instant. And from seeing the light of Christ in that moment, Paul goes blind. And then he has to be helped into the city, and he sits in a house for 3 days. And then God taps this guy named Ananias on the shoulder and says, hey, you're going to go and minister to Paul. And what's Ananias' response? He basically says, are you sure? I know, I've heard the stories about Paul. I know who he is. He's a bad dude. I think he's unreachable. Kind of what Ananias says, and God says, don't worry, he's mine now. You see, people in the Bible that are used by God aren't any holier than you and I. Ananias says the same thing that you and I would say about people in our lives, and yet God says, no, Paul's mine. I did that. He's mine now. He works for me. You see, there are people in your life that God still wants to do that to. Pray for them. Another person in the Scriptures is the thief on the cross. The only thing we know about him is that he is getting what he deserves, which is being crucified. And, well, that's a pretty bad sentence, pretty bad guy. You can conjecture that he likely might have started an insurrection against the Romans. You know, they only crucified the worst criminals to make an example out of. They don't just, crucify your average criminal. So, I mean, he deserves it. He's done something to deserve it. And even as he's being hung next to Jesus, he is bringing shame upon his whole family. And it seems like even early in the day, he's helping hurl insults at Jesus. And then in that moment, God changed his heart and he knew Jesus. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what's Jesus' reply? Today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, there are people in your life that God still wants to do that to. Pray for them. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So first, that means we have to have good conversations with ourselves. Second, it means we have to have a good conversation with God, and then that will lead us somewhere else. Third and last, we have to have good conversations with other people. Good conversations with others. Can you think of that one person that you love that may not know Jesus? How much does your heart ache for them to know God? Now take that and imagine what God's heart is like, who wants all people to be saved. And I think God wants to use us to reach them. God wants to use you and me to show other people the power of the crucified and risen Jesus and what that power has done in our life and what it can do in theirs. Now, what would it take to have that conversation with someone? Now, I know it can sound terrifying to say, I don't want to talk to somebody about Jesus. And I'm not suggesting being, you know, weird and creepy or, you know, overbearing, but what would it like for you to share God's love with someone and God's word to someone? What next step could you take to show someone that you care about the message of Jesus? You see, that's how the gospel tends to work by the Holy Spirit. You are probably here today because of someone. Someone shared Jesus with you. Someone told you that Jesus lived, died, and rose for you, and that the only true life you'll ever have is in Jesus. Someone told you that God's heart is so big that God wants you in His kingdom at the expense of His own Son. Maybe it's a parent who brought you to worship, had you baptized, taught you to pray, or a friend who loved you enough to have that conversation with you. God used someone in your life. Someone told you that no matter what you've done, God forgives you at the cross of Jesus. Someone told you that God will never give up on you. Someone told you that the gospel is the greatest story ever told and the greatest news you'll ever hear. Someone told you that God loves you because of Jesus. You see, God used someone, and God wants you to be a someone. And that means we'll have good conversation with ourselves, with God, and with others, because God's word is absolutely true. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So may the peace that goes beyond our understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.